If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey guys, it's Tom here. Just wanted to let you know that we have a Patreon you can get on for $3 a month and you get bonus episodes every week. And if you sign up for the whole year, you get a 10% discount. That's $2.70 a month, I believe. And we also have a tier where you can be a guest on the Patreon show. You could pick a band yourself to defend and do it on the Patreon. So get on over there. It's patreon.com/standbyyourband. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined as always by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Doing very well. You know, I was very excited because I got myself a vaccine appointment, and then you went and one-upped my ass.
Had to one-up that ass. I'm vaxxed, baby. I'm vaxxed. I'm waxed, and I'm play the sax. Let's go.
Please edit in a sax.
That's right. I'm going to tell you guys all about it, but let's intro our guest. Ding Donger himself, Matt Bronger. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good, man. What's up, fellas? I would jump on the suggestion train for someone else's podcast right away. I think when you edit in that sax, you should just I just call either Baker Street or Turn the Page by Bob Seger. Like, just the soaring, taking itself too seriously sax riff. Either one of those ones. That people used to do a line of coke and sit back. oh fuck, Baker Street,
coke, some sex snacks,
right there.
And you're perfect.
It's gonna be whatever I put in there. It's gonna be long. I know that.
Edit it in for a long. Edit like a minute of the song. Someone's listening to the podcast and they're high. Wait, fuck. Is a radio playing now?
Everybody who listens to our podcast, I say does our podcast, because I mean, like, they do cocaine. While they do the podcast, they also do cocaine. So it's kind of a one in, if you listen, you do receive a package in the mail with a little packet. It's kind of like a power hour thing where we all do it together, but this is with illegal cocaine.
Every minute, one line.
Yeah, most of our audience is dead. They flip over.
And not even to rock music, to like rock journalism commentary.
Uninformed rock commentary.
Fully never call this journalism. let's stop that one right there in its tracks.
Well, you know that term means nothing.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
I have a website.
This is more just mostly us. As somebody said, waffling for a while, and then we talk about music for about 30 minutes. That was a good old time. But I am vaxxed. I'm like I said, vaxxed. Play this. You guys heard the whole thing. I don't need to play the riff again.
How do you swing it? Do you have a?
Here's the thing. There's this website you can go to steal an old person's identity, and then you are taking it straight from them, basically. Or there's another one that says when old people who are particularly frail will be leaving or will be entering, and you can just take it straight from them. So.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah, no. The way that I did it is I heard this thing that the problem with the Pfizer vaccine, and I think also the Moderna, is once they thaw them out, they're kind of spent, and so a lot of them were going to waste. And what you can do is go. I went to Walgreens, and you have to wait in a line for a while. And then at the end of the day, they go, okay, here's how many we have left that we're going to go to waste. And so you get one that was going to waste anyway. So it doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel as bad if you don't qualify for anything. Cause I don't qualify for anything. And I think there are ways around it, but as a comic, and I didn't really want to do that, even though I do think it's good for people to get vaccinated. But
no, I mean, I'm on the wait list for a couple of pharmacies in my area that it's just literally if they thaw it out and it's like, we're going to close in half an hour and they'll call you.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. But like, they're also the wait list is prioritized by people that need it too.
Of course.
It's like, I'm probably not going to get a phone call, but I'm hearing about people that are just taking codes and like, that are very tech savvy. They're just getting on and basically like lying and getting appointments. And so some of these clinics, it's like this person's there and they're like not a healthcare worker. They don't work in a restaurant and you know, not like, and this is like they're targeting. It's so fucking white person evil. They're targeting like minority, heavy centers that are bogged down by too much influx. They just go in there and fucking, and you're showing up and being like, I have an appointment. And the person like can't argue because they're like, the computer says you have an appointment, but they're like, but you don't have it. And they're like, you're not allowed to ask me that. And it's just like,
wow, dude, that sucks.
I mean, it's like, I want more of that to be like, remember that show Cheaters where that guy would run in and be like,
you're great show.
You know, I want there to be a show where it's like vax catchers where they catch white people taking black, you know, poor black people's spot. And there's like, what? Like, just catch some fucking shitty rich hipster dude in the act.
Does quickly take down my new web series, Vax Hacks, which is just chill guys. We smoke cigars and we talk about how to, it's on Barstool, and we figure out how to steal vaccines the funniest ways possible.
You snuck that in perfectly. I was like, you know, and I love, you know, speaking of shitty people, like I love, like when I was, for some reason, I'm still stuck on the sax thing, but I want to see someone who's like playing like a big club in like a red state and like just kind of like a Toby Keith's I Love This Bar.
Sure.
And like, you know, somewhere. And he's like a sax player. And he's like takes a mask and takes it off and throws it in the crowd. Like, fuck this. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, I'm an anti masker, but not an anti-saxer.
And then they're like, I like this one. They don't like it at all. I
didn't really want to hear any sax.
I was not planning on, I liked the banjo that the guy had, but
very, very, very like half whiskey drunk cowboy crowd, you know, that were like really into some Toby Keith type shit this guy is doing.
You know what I just realized? I said banjo because in my head you think of banjo as like the toothless guy on a porch going ding, 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 ding. But really the people who love banjo are like hipster. Like I love hearing a banjo. Mm-hmm. It's not the people. Yeah. The people who I'm thinking of would like to hear like Daughtry or something. I don't know. Like
like so modern different. Country that's like Def Leppard, but even more overproduced.
Yeah.
If there's so many track levels and so much, you know, like it's like, wait, this song sounds like the last seven songs on the radio. They're all,
and I love it.
Well, I don't know much, but I love my country and I like to party. And I love my truck.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7,268.
Keep them coming. That is a good way to get us into what we're here to talk about today, I think, which is it's interesting. No, it never has to be serious.
Please no.
Having said that, this man did die tragically. Yes, I just Tommy sent over that his Behind the Music was on YouTube.
It's on YouTube,
which is great.
I never watched it.
It's,
and I'm such a fan.
Honestly, I would say we're talking about Jim Croce for people who don't read the title of the episode. but it is Jim Croce that we're talking about today. And Jim Croce's Behind the Music is mostly his wife Ingrid talking about his life. And I'd say there's a lot of filler in this bad boy. I think that it could have been, I almost skipped the end because it was like, I know about the plane crash is extremely sad, and I just didn't really mm-hmm. want to deal with it because it's like, it's a man at the height of his career, basically, who's also walking away to spend time with his child and his wife, and then he passes away, going to play this show that he was losing money on that was poorly attended, even at the height of his fame. It's really sad. So, yeah. But they also go into like, his son now has a music career and he has a voice of his own that's pretty jazzy or whatever. And I was like, I'm sorry. I just don't care.
I have to play something. I'm getting to it right now.
Oh, I wonder if it's the same thing I was going to play.
Well, so at the end of it, very emotional ending, I like teared up almost at the end because they played this recording. He never played of a song he wrote for his wife. And then over the credits, they start to play one of the songs that was on your playlist, which is Operator, amazing song.
Yes.
But they decided to cut in a promo in the middle of it during Operator. Yeah. So I'm going to play that. Hopefully I start at the right time.
She's living in L.A. with my best old ex-friend, Ray. Gosh,
20 years ago, Leif Garrett was a teen idol. He drove all the girls crazy, and he drove his car off a cliff, crippling his best buddy and killing their friendship. Now, for the first time in 20 years, Leif and his friend are reunited on VH1 Behind the Music, Leif Garrett, tonight at 9, 8 Central on VH1's Teen Idols Week.
No.
And then they keep playing it.
They keep playing it. As if anybody can enjoy what they're hearing.
I wish the guy would come back in and go, you think this song's bad? It's all about driving your friend off a cliff.
An unforgivable accident.
Behind the Music. Coming up now.
That's so good. You know what's funny is when I had a feeling it was going to be... I didn't even hear that last part because as soon as they said the Leif Garrett thing, I was like, oh, I just wanted to hear Operator. And then it did that. And then I wish I had listened to the rest of it. That is insane. And while we're on the topic of the Behind the Music, I also have a clip that I want to play. Really, it's like a minute that it was just a very silly thing. And it's his wife talking about they moved out to like a farmhouse and they would have these parties with all these different kinds of people. And she said Jim was really good at like getting people back to the house. And so this really made me laugh.
Jim was famous for collecting friends. Rarely a night went by when he didn't bring someone home to stay at the farm.
Jim had this wonderful ability to invite people that were in juxtaposition in life. He would love to invite a priest and somebody from, you know, the Ku Klux Klan and somebody from Roller Derby Queen and maybe somebody who would come from a college professor. And he would, and then a lot of young girls that were really pretty and brought a lot of color to the party.
Jim and Ingrid's parties became legendary. Old friends.
Mostly in the KKK.
And was the last thing, did I hear it? Brought a lot of colors.
No, very colorful. That would have been
insane. Like she still talked like that. Like a white person frozen in the 60s or 50s. Like, hey, don't say that word.
Well, that's the moment where I was like, okay, clearly these were like sex parties too. The way that she said, he had an ability to bring all these pretty girls back to our place. It's like very weird. But the KKK thing made me look. It was like that's such so a jump.
Weird. I mean, I'm sure it's one of those things where, because it's like he was such a blues guy and he played with so many black musicians. I'm sure it was kind of just like, I'm just going to change his mind. Absolutely. I'm not just in here giving me the benefit of the doubt because I'm a fan at all.
But it's
just like, but the fact that she just said that, he's like, whoa. Like, that just stands out insanely of all the things you said, it's like a farmer and a priest and a guy who was training to be a random sniper. Just a person who wanted to get on a roof with a full rifle, a lot of all the bullets in there. And then there were also, candy stripers and Girl Scouts. Go back. Go fucking back. A random sniper? Like it's just imagining people at that party. Like there was like a person of color that was already there and had just hit a joint. And was like, yeah, let's play some music. And a dude comes in his hood.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah. How did he find this guy? It's so funny to just picture like the other people at the party being like, so wait, what is this guy all about? Like,
so I'm a priest.
Yeah. I'm the priest. So who here is in the KKK? That's the math of all of his parties.
And if you don't know,
you're passing around like a fucking plate with lines of cocaine on it. You're like, you want? And the guy's like, I'm a priest. No. You mind? I don't judge. You can snort cocaine in front of me. It's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, I don't. The thing is, it sounds like it was also a lot of musicians because they talk about. I skipped this part because it wasn't as funny. It was just interesting, but it was that like James Taylor would be there, and sure. Was it Bonnie Raitt?
I think Arlo Guthrie,
who was a big part of the behind the Arlo Guthrie and Cheech Marin are big parts of the behind the music because they were good friends of his. Cheech, not until he was already famous, but Arlo Guthrie just met him. Like traveling around and shit and him bringing people back to this farm, I think. But, we watched that. And so we had to get those out. Those two clips. I did think
it was funny that he was only friends with Cheech. Like he hated
so Cheech came to his show and that's how he met him, but he never made any connection with Chong. They toured together because he says that they met on the road and it's like Chong never came along.
The amount of insight you get, the more you learn about all that, like that era, because like Cheech and Chong, they were like, before they were like a stoner act, they were like health food freaks and fitness freaks. They were like really into like, you know, organic foods and vegetarianism and stuff and lifting. That's why when you see them in the movie, like they're wearing a tank top, they're ripped. Chong arms are amazing. And you're like, wait. You guys are stoners.
Yeah.
You guys just drift all the time. But it's that thing where it's just like they were, you know, they must put them on screen and they're just like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Awesome.
This is the stoner I want to see.
That is good weed propaganda just to put a jackass dude up there. So let's get into the music a bit. So it's weird that you said Jim Croce, because me and Tommy just did our friend's podcast, the X Bummer Boys. X is that was their name, right? It's Mike Carrazza. Yeah, it's our buddy Mike Carrazza, and they have you bring in songs that make you sad, and I played Operator on the show because it's one of my favorite songs of all time. But it doesn't make me as sad as Time in a Bottle comparatively. But yeah, I like Operator more.
You know, he has songs that are so sappy that I'm like, oh, it's even too sappy for him.
Yes.
You know, but like Time in a Bottle. I'm like, yeah, it's technically an amazing song, especially like the audio quality. And riff and stuff.
And given the story, for sure.
It's like a Hallmark card. It's just like, I can't, man.
Yeah.
You know, I love that line. There never seems to be enough time to do things you want to do once you find them.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like I said, it's kind of a cool, wistful moment where he kind of gets out.
And I like that it changes.
Right back into the sound.
Yes.
But like Operator is so specific because it's, you just feel, I remember as a kid looking at the album, Photographs of Memories, as a little boy, looking at the picture of his little boy holding his dad's hat. His dead father's hat.
Yeah.
And hearing the song is being like, just feeling just sad.
Yeah.
Just imagining this dude at a payphone. He ran off with my girlfriend. I just want to say it's okay. Number's not there.
Yeah.
Well, shit. You know, and it's like, and then all the feelings kind of start hitting him. And it's like, oh, yeah. So it's like, it's sappy and sad as fuck, but it's just done so well.
It's done so well. You know? And I feel like it's not a song you hear normally. That's not the the passive kind of like regretful. And also, why are you even calling them just to tell them I'm doing fine? It's like, It's such a funny way to do things. It's like
you
got a sense of humor.
Tell them both go to hell.
No, tell them because that's what most songs are. It's like, and here's another thing about my ex. Like they were wrong. I'm killing it now. This is a guy who's like, I'm fine. Like I just need to tell him I'm okay.
Yeah, the song "All My Exes Live in Texas" doesn't go, and I call him every month and tell him it's okay. I don't mind that you left me.
I think we should go ahead and hear some of Operator, even though we just yes, let's hear some more sax. That would be great if we only played sax the whole show.
Can we play I Still Believe from Lost Boys?
All right, so let's hear some of Operator. We heard a little bit of it. It was, of course, ruined by the plug for the next Behind
Leave
the Music.
Garrett, yeah.
What if I just better. Start talking about Leave Garrett? all right, this is Operator from Jim Croce.
Such a good year.
Operator, oh, could you help me place this call? See the number on the matchbook is old and faded. She's living in L.A. with my best old ex-friend, Ray. Gosh, she said she knew well and sometimes hated.
The thing I love about Jim Croce is that his shit always had a little bit of a boogie to it.
Yeah.
You know? Like that song, it's kind of a bop.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, it was always him. All of his songs are two guitars.
Yeah.
That are playing together, but different riffs that fit. I mean, I always say this about music. Like when I was a kid, I remember listening to like really kind of interesting, complex pop, you know, like the Police. Or like the and stuff, and you're like, how would you even think of this melody?
Yeah,
this is crazy.
Yeah,
to have that drum with this staccato, you know, guitar going, you know,
yeah.
Like how did you think it? So like, I listen to Jim Croce stuff and go, I don't know how you write a guitar driven song like that.
Yeah,
you know, if you go online and watch like some of his live stuff he did on like, you know, late night shows or whatever. It's just him and another dude like facing each other playing. It's like, it's amazing.
Yeah. You know? It's so cool. And it's like, it's crazy to think that he went so much of his life not having success. And then this, he had the Freddie Van Vliet syndrome where he had a kid and he all of a sudden just popped off. Like he was kind of stalled out in his career. His wife goes, I'm pregnant. And he puts out one of the greatest albums of all time right after that, coming from virtually nowhere. Like, I mean, he had been working on music his whole career and not having any success, got fucked over by a record label, all that good stuff. And then has just this brilliant album of, and had two top 10 songs like in the same, off the same album. It's crazy. Yeah.
I need to get someone pregnant so quickly because I got to start writing, man.
That's another Patreon tier.
I have a 6-month-old daughter. That hasn't kicked in. Writing a perfect script or a perfect hour or something that I'm going to shoot and shock the world with my comedic brilliance.
I don't know about that. You got that out. You got that pod.
I always think of Eminem. That he was like, you know, that's when he just was like, I got to take this seriously. I cannot lose a rap battle the rest of my life.
Yeah, when we both have kids, and we're going to have to both have this moment at the same time because of the podcast, this thing is going to go to the moon. It's going to be insane.
Oh, it's going to take off right then. Yeah.
What else? Oh, yeah. So the story behind this song kind of blew my mind because I just assumed when I was a kid, because I grew up listening to Jim Croce. My mom and my stepdad both liked him. And so I feel like that's how most people get into Croce. It's like he's perfect for parents to have gotten you into a little bit.
Yeah, I hear that song and I'm just immediately, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old.
Yes.
Whatever it was, you know.
Absolutely.
takes me back.
Is that how you got familiarized with Croce, is just hearing your parents play him?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, and it's, you know, it's nuts how many people really love Croce that you'd be like, I've met people from all kind of walks of life. They're like, oh, I love Jim Croce. And like, I remember I had this, you know, he's a musician, so he likes so much. But like, I remember one of the reasons I connected with Reggie Watts as a friend so much is because he loves Jim Croce. And stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, he makes kind of this amazing electronic space music.
Right. It's all improv. Right.
But it's, yeah, it's anyway, my parents listened to him and they listened to a lot of stuff. There's certain stuff I was like, all right, you know, but like that, I was like, oh, I like this Fleetwood Mac. That's cool. I love this Saturday Night Fever soundtrack you guys play constantly. You know,
sure. Like, we just watched that the other day and it's great because we watched the Bee Gees documentary. So, oh shit, I totally forgot. We were going to do a Bee Gees episode to go with the documentary. I completely forgot till just now. God damn it.
Okay.
Yeah, not too late. I don't think everybody in the world saw that doc. I think we're fine. Yeah. So what were the ones that you were like, this sucks shit that they were playing?
Oh, music wise. What? My mom and I used to make fun of my dad. My dad used to listen to Gregorian chants. Right? And he had this album of like this, like, cause my dad was almost my dad was literally in the seminary dropping. Mm-hmm. And like, my parents are all, I jokingly call them real Christians because they run a food pantry and actually help people and don't give a fuck about being rich and shit like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, they enjoy their lives, but it's just like they're genuinely moral people, but they're not sticks in the mud and not. They're shitty and judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
It's like usually when someone's like, well, I'm a Christian, so I, it's like, right. Okay, you're about to talk about why this person sucks and why you can't accept their lifestyle.
Right.
You know, but like, it's just my dad used that to like meditate and he's still like, he has like a prayer group. He has like a, and it's like dudes, it's like a couple priests and they all come and just read scripture and kick it and hang out and talk about life. And it's almost like their therapy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't know it, but like, so anyway, like long story long, he would listen to Gregorian chants and my mom and I'd be like, oh, you know, come on. But he also, you know, he liked Creedence and all that stuff too.
Sure.
So like there, I will say there wasn't like a lot that I was like, yeah, this sucks during the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're pretty good taste. A lot of jazz.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was into Croce. The one thing my stepdad would play that I actually really loved because I couldn't stand him, but I loved Styx. He got me into.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay.
I was like super into Styx as like a 6 year old or whatever. But so Tommy, you're not alone in this because Antonia had never heard any Croce because I just played her a bunch of songs. She didn't know any of them. But yeah. you weren't really familiar with Croce either, right?
Well, the one I knew really well was Bad Bad Leroy Brown.
Right.
Just being from a suburb of Chicago, they play that on Chicago radio
all the time.
It's great. I love that song. But when you like, I'd never heard Operator before. I'd never heard the other one that was the number one that you guys were just talking about.
Time in a Bottle.
Yeah, I'd never even heard those songs once. And wow. Yeah, I watched a bunch of videos of him playing live today, and mm-hmm. I was just blown away. He has such an amazing voice, and I'm
yes.
like, I feel like deprived that I was not.
I was shocked, especially because you like a lot of singer songwriters, and I feel like
my parents were super into Jackson Brown, and there was some James Taylor, but it was never Croce, so I never did that deep dive as a kid or adult. Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Croce never hit like James Taylor did.
Right.
He never hit like Jackson Brown did. Mm-hmm. You know, like he had like a little moment and then it was gone. And so it's like, there are people that are just like, you'd be like, you only think of Time in a Bottle. You only think of Operator. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I love that song. It's so sad. Oh, yeah. And he's dead. You know,
yeah.
So I think because that bummer factor, people don't really stick around for it.
But like, I kind of get that. Because mm-hmm. every time Without I think about him, I think about him dying at 30 right at the top Absolutely. Of this shit. So it's like, and I didn't even realize he was 30 because I saw these album covers as a kid. And even in the behind the music, that he talks about how he looked old in a picture. And
yeah.
that's part of what he got. He looked very old. I thought he would died yeah. at like 55 or some shit.
What is it about plane crashes? Because him and Otis Redding,
mm-hmm.
like Otis Redding, like died. There's a picture where he's like 22 and you're like, that's like my friend's dad.
Yeah, that's
such a beyond man. Like
yeah.
that's not even old, but like that's a guy that guy owns a chain of restaurants.
Yeah.
Like that's not a 22-year-old. you know. But yeah, that's he does not look 30. He looks at least 45.
Yeah, and a lot of these pictures, he's not even 30. He's like 26 or some shit, and he just looks. I mean, the mustache, you know, doesn't do him any favors age wise, which. Because in the videos you see without the mustache, he looks almost baby faced, but I think he took that on later. But anyway, I got into him as a kid, and I remember hearing Operator and immediately loving it. I loved Operator so much so quickly because it is a very simple thing to follow, and it's just a deep sadness that is good. But because of his stories are mostly come from a personal place, or they're just stories of whatever. This has nothing to do with his life. Like, he overheard some people when he was he in the National Guard? He was in the National Guard, and he overheard people doing like Dear John calls and shit, and he just wrote this song based on them.
Oh wow.
Which is I think really brilliant, because it's like the way you can watch somebody else go through something and immediately write a beautiful song about it is very impressive.
It's also like sometimes when you're too close to it, you know, it's kind of like you can't be a detective and solve your partner's murder. You know, it's like it's too emotional. So like, I think if that happened to him, it wouldn't be as simple. He would fucking get into how angry he was or whatever. But it's just like, that's why that song's so heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. That he's trying to do a good thing despite everything else, and he can't even get through to him. And he's just like, you know, it's fine. And he's even nice to the operator.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for your time. You've been so much more than kind. I think that's one of the parts that just hit me the hardest, which is like, he doesn't just hang up.
Yeah.
He's just like, it was nice to talk to you. You're just like, yeah, oh, fuck.
He's so desperate for something. That's what I take away from that is like, you're just so desperate for some kind of interaction with somebody that's like,
yeah.
Hey, what are you up to? Yeah. He's just so lonely. And Bobby Condon, who's on the show, on the Patreon line, which by the way, get on that Patreon, people. He sent me a joke that his friend who passed away, Dave Metz, wrote a joke about Croce that's like, if you listen to Operator, the third part is just him calling the operator to say, hey, you're a good operator.
That's such a great joke.
That's so funny. You're a good operator. still not ready to talk to my ex. That was it. Still not really ready to talk to that ex, but you're good.
Can I tell you more about my history with my ex? I got a lot of calls to put through. I've tried. I didn't need the whole history. All you do is give me the number. That's it.
But me and Ray were really good friends. Oh, she hung up.
You know, there's this one time when, hello? Yeah.
We have to get to a segment that I almost forgot, that because it's been a minute, it feels like, since we've done it, but we do a regular segment on the show where friend and foe of the show, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, he gives his thoughts on the musicians we're talking about. Usually he hates them all. I don't know how he feels about Jim Croce. I don't think I've ever talked about this with him. This is a different sort of thing. We usually talk about bands that he hates, and lately we've been talking about stuff that I feel is just underappreciated more than sucks. So I'm curious what he'll have to say. So here is Jared on Jim Croce.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What's up, y'all? It's This Week's It Went to Jared. The boys are going to have Matt Bronger on discussing Jim Croce. So first of all, as everyone listening knows, Bronger's one of the genuinely one of the funniest people alive, and just a brilliant, you know, just comedy mind, period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time he comes through town, I love just talking to him, and he's certainly also just a sweet dude, and looking forward to having you back in town at some point. So anyway, Jim Croce is just a great example of this new series you guys are doing of just undervalued comedians. And look no further than that. Of course, we all love him, but I didn't know till tonight that he died so young. I had no idea. And I think that's a really valid point in sort of the undervalue of this, is that he maybe didn't have the years of making bad music that, for instance, and I'm certainly not saying that he's anywhere near as good as Jim Croce, but like, you know, Gordon Lightfoot sort of like looked down on in a lot of ways, because, and I think a lot of it is because he made just so many albums, and not all of them are good, but certainly there's some good stuff there. But you know, this is, you just listen to Croce, and the songwriting is great. The music is great. The songs are great. And it just, I guess, probably just was never like super, you know, at the top of everyone's mind. So, I'm going to have a good time listening to this. And all right. Well, anyway, I love you guys. I will talk to you later. Thanks.
Thanks, Jared. Love you too, buddy.
That's yeah. Great. What do you think about the things that Jared just said?
I think he accidentally called him a comedian. I thought he was going to do a bit about like hilariously sappy, sad songs that make me laugh. I thought he was going to fuck like twist it. But it's funny he mentioned Gordon Lightfoot, because it's like, yeah, I'm like, but yeah, Gordon Lightfoot's fine, but I don't like him as much as Croce. Like, never did. I did a 51st jokes joke that did not do well, but it's still, I just thought of it that day, and I'm like, well, and for those listening, there's a show in New York and LA and Chicago called 51st Jokes, where on right around New Year's Day, a bunch of comedians fill a comedy club or a venue, and we one by one tell our first joke of the year.
Yeah.
And mine was, you guys hear that, Gordon, sorry to do a joke, but
no, please do. In fact, point, we're going to have you do a late night set of yours as well.
Great. Yeah, can I just do a high five? Like, fucking comedian. You guys ever notice? Please, I need this. Are we live? Doesn't know what a podcast is. I was like, you guys know that evidently at one point Gordon Lightfoot and Jim Croce tried to kill each other in a bar once in a horrible fight. It was the mellowest knife fight of all time. So stupid. So stupid.
That's great. That's really funny. It is.
You can't imagine those guys ever getting killed.
Just the most soft-spoken, like, hey man, I was trying to order this knife fight. It is funny. All the stories I was reading about Croce when we talked about him on the other pod, I was surprised to see that a lot of reports on him were that he was this like hilarious performer, that he was like really funny between songs, and he had kind of built up almost like an active story, because he would tell these great stories, but he was funny telling them. And I was shocked, because I was like, hearing these songs, you don't think of it. I mean, Bad Luger, Roy Brown has some funny lines.
It's like, I don't, I mean, I'm like you, man. Like, I was born in Chicago. My parents left when I was two, but I moved back, after college, and like got into comedy there. But like, you know, you hear that song all the fucking time, every sports event, you know. And, you know, South Side of Chicago is the baddest part of town. For some reason, he couldn't fit in the most Irish and black part of town. Like, that was true. but it's like he has these, it's almost like these boogie-woogie folk songs about scary black people. Bad Leroy Brown and You Don't Mess Around With Jim.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I don't know for a fact that Jim is black, but like, it sounds like, you know, from what he's like, the hustler culture he's describing, you know what I mean? Like this guy. So, you know, those are both like barroom stories. Right. This guy was the scariest dude, and a dude showed up that no one thought was tough, and he just took him apart. It was the craziest shit you ever saw. Mm-hmm. And he makes it fun. And like, I don't love Bad Leroy Brown. I don't love that the melody of it and everything and the sing-alongs. You know, it's fine, But you don't mess around with Jim is a bop. Like, that's got a way more of a fucking beat to it and everything. And like, I love the syncopation of it. You know, Uptown's got its hustlers. Bowery's got its bums. 47th Street's got Big Jim Walker. He's a bullshooting son of a gun. He's big and dumb as a man can come. He's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know, they all call Big Jim boss. Like, he's literally horrifying.
Yeah.
This guy is like, if the Hulk was malevolent and was in a suit and was just fucking breaking people's skulls on the edges of tables. And they're just like, look, man, you run shit. Please don't hurt us.
Yeah.
You know, like, already sets it up where you're like, this guy is so fucking scary. And he's dumb. Like, he's really stupid. Like, that somehow is even scarier.
That is way scarier. Yeah.
So scarier. Like, to me, always, like, if you're about to get trampled by a moose or killed by a bear, I always think about how, like, you know, like a shark's going to eat you, like the dead look in their eyes. It's like that line from Jaws, you know, like black as like a doll's eyes. You know, it's like, oh, God,
so there's nothing in there.
There's no soul.
You can't reason with it because it's dumb.
There's no empathy in Jim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't mess around with him, you know. But like, it's much more entertaining and a better story about a scary man.
Yeah.
Than Bad Leroy Brown.
We should, let's go ahead and hear it because it's on the playlist. Let's hear some of You Don't Mess Around With Jim.
Uptown got its hustlers. The Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim. A walker, he a bull shooting son of a gun. Big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Boss just because. And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't.
That sounds like that just like they come on in a bar and you're like, yeah, I'm glad I'm in this bar. This is fun. This is a fun bar.
I think so true.
That's one thing I love about Jim Croce as an adult is like he had these songs. They're just like, I feel like I'm in a fun little dive bar somewhere right now. I'm at a beat up table. No one's really causing any trouble. You know, everyone's just kind of here for fun. It's not too crowded. You know, there's a little band playing. This is a solid Thursday night I'm having, you know?
Absolutely. It makes me want to be in a bar for sure. It's that just sounds like a fun, like some Chicago dive bar. They don't really have a lot of good dive bars in New York these days, but that would be
there's no fun. It's like Los Angeles. Like, you got to go to the Valley to go to a real dive. And they're great.
The dive bars here are like fake dive bars where they're like
they're built like that.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh man, I love this dive bar. Oh, it's $8 for a PBR or whatever. There's some. They're like, we actually have a couple.
Skinny Dennis is my favorite bar in New York.
Yeah, that one's sick.
Honky Tonk. They have $4 Coors Lagers for 32 ounces. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah,
Canal is kind of like that too, but it's that one's great. But the one near me is fake.
There's a bar downtown. What was it called? It was called I forget the name, but it used to have a phone booth you could stand in and smoke a cigarette by yourself. And you had to use the token to get in the bathroom because people go in there shoot up on a daily basis. Like, it was like, I don't like being in here. This is scary. Like, it wasn't even fun.
Right.
And then the King Eddie, that's what it's called. And then another, like, you know, the overall gentrification of downtown Los Angeles swept through, and someone bought it and turned it into this, like, a fucking bar with beautiful men bartending and shit. And I remember we were there with a bunch of friends, and we were little buzzed up and a little high. And like, my now wife and girlfriend was like, I just want like a dumb drink or something. And she's like, can I have like a, what did she ask for? Like a tequila sunrise or something stupid. And the guy, fucking dude that looked like a model, goes, this is a real bar, honey. And I'm like, dude, it was.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Do you really think because you kept the name?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I want people stabbed. I'm not that asshole.
Right, like, of course not. Real,
afraid all the time. But like, yeah, anyway, that anytime I say Epcot dive, I'm like,
yeah, huh, absolutely. Yeah. That sucks so much. Just make the damn drink. You have it. You have the ingredients. Just the
fact, I don't mind that they turned it into a nicer bar that's way more expensive.
Sure.
I don't care. But the fact that the guy said, this is a real bar, honey. Ugh. So my girlfriend is like,
that is trash.
I'll break the stool over your face like they used to.
Then it'll be a real bar.
Then it'll be a real bar.
All right. Let's hear. So have we heard three songs now? We've heard two. So we should cruise through some more of these. The next one, I'm going to play this one next because it's another fun one. Roller Derby Queen. I didn't know this one. So I was, I really liked it though. This is a Roller Derby Queen.
Story that you won't believe, but I fell in love last Friday evening with the girl I saw on the barroom TV screen. Well, I was just getting ready to get my hat when she caught my eye, and I put it back, and I ordered myself a couple of more shots and beers.
Yeah, that's another funny one. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I was thinking today, like, it's a novelty song because roller derbies were like all the rage back then. And you don't know if he wrote it or if the record label was like, got to make a song about roller derby, Jim. We're not releasing the album. You don't know, but it's great because it's like he fell in love with a savage, massive woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the program announcer, it said she was built like a refrigerator with a head.
Yeah.
That's like a lyric from there. And it's like, she's just murdering people in this thing. And she's, what is it like? She's 5'6", 216.
So
I believe Bomber was freaking mean. That's such a big woman. 5'6", 215.
I found
That's his thing. He's in the bar.
I found a thing where he this is on his one of his live albums. He tells a story about this song.
Oh, cool.
Where he says, as Croce explained on his album The Final Tour, this is a song about a woman Jim met doing a gig at a local country and western bar. As they sat and drank together, he came to find out she used to be in the roller derby and that her husband was a state trooper. He described her as being about 400 pounds, saying, every time I watched her clap, I could see the fat on her arm jiggling back and forth. It was a beautiful sight. He also pointed out her penchant for hairspray and how he would see her toting cans of spray net back from the supermarket. He also claimed that he wouldn't play the song locally as her husband could really mess up a nice day. So I guess it is a real person that he's talking about this time.
That phrase
which
is crazy. Amazing.
Yeah.
Mess up a nice day.
Oh, that state trooper could really mess up a nice day.
Beautiful.
Like, you don't know if he means he'll arrest you or he'll just pistol whip you in the face. Yeah. You have no idea what he's talking about. You can really, that's the thing. It's like I think he was such a, he probably just, he was disarming because he was so nice and charming and funny.
Yes.
And it's like, he's not going to say, yeah, he'd kick the shit out of you.
Right.
Or he'd pin a false arrest on you. He'd throw drugs in your car. No, he's just going to say he'd mess up a nice day.
He seems like he would be such a nice guy to meet, or like such a fun person to meet, especially, I mean, we're like we did with the Jawbreaker episode. It's like coming off of a post documentary high where you're like, this is the coolest guy ever. I just saw a full hour about him.
And I love like the one thing that sticks out. One thing that sticks out in that song was thinking of was like, I was just getting ready to get my hat and she caught my eye and I put it back. And I ordered myself a couple more shots and beers. Like, if I go out, like, maybe I'll have one shot.
Yeah.
Two if I'm really going
out. Couple more.
I'm in my 40s, too, but, like, I'll have a couple more shots and beers.
Couple more for me, yeah.
I was about to leave. Like, I've already had a lot. Wait, I want to watch this roller derby. Do you want another beer? No, I want four shots. What is it? Is this a country western bar, or am I just pulling my dick right now? Are you joking?
Is this a real Mine bar?
So much alcohol.
All right. Unfortunately, we got to wrap up at like 8 because the Bachelor is going to be on. So we got.
Oh shit!
All right.
Speed round.
we'll do a speed round of the songs because we still have to get to the comments, and there were some good ones for this one. So let's hear. I Got a Name. This is just a classic. I'm gonna skip forward a bit.
Down the sky, I've got a song. I've got a song. Like a whippoorwill and a beaver's cry. I've got a song. I've got a song. And I carry it with me and I sing it loud. If it gets me nowhere, I know they're proud.
What a tune.
Two things.
So good.
Stone Temple Pilots full on ripped off that riff.
Yes.
Full on stole it.
Totally.
Tweaked one thing. But, isn't, if it gets, I Carry It With Me and I Sing It Loud, if it gets me nowhere, I'll go there proud. Tell me that's not stand up comedy. That is stand up comedy. That is what we do.
Truly.
it's just like, yeah, this probably will lead to nothing, but I love it.
That is beautiful. Damn, I'm going to listen to this a different way from now on.
It's like, I love that he used that, Tarantino used that in Django Unchained, you know, when they're just like across the little snow peaked, you know?
Yeah.
The thing. And because it is, it's like
I
that song,
about
like
that.
You hear it and you're just like, if you have a couple drinks and you're just like, I do have a name. You know, it's just like you might have nothing, but you have this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I Care With me like my daddy did.
I love
you
it.
You know? It's great. It's great because it's just, it's like, no, it's so sincere.
Absolutely. So good. So we have two more songs. I'm going to choose to end with the one that I feel like is the best way to end the playlist. But so I want to go with The Hard Way Every Time next. The last one is just one of my all time favorite songs. So this is The Hard Way Every Time.
But in looking back at the places I've been, the changes that I've left behind, I just look at myself to find I've learned the hard way every time. Cause I've had my share of good intentions and I made my share of mistakes. And I've learned at times it's best to bend. Cause if you don't, well, those are the breaks. Should have listened to all the things I was told. I was young and too proud at the time. Now I look at myself and find I learn the hard way every time.
That's okay. Kind of my theme song. I mean, I was taking an hour. I did a show. You know, you got to name your show at JFL. Right. Some, you know, when you do,
yes,
like a headlining show, and it was called Made of Mistakes because mm-hmm. it was all just like, not that I'm in this fuck up, but it's like, yeah, it's like I've just, I think we all have. I'm not going to get the Hard Way Every Time tattoo because it sounds oddly sexual, but it's like that. It is that thing where it's, he has like, there's a line on that song where he's like, in chasing a couple moonbeams, I ran into a couple of walls. And it's like, yeah, who can't relate to that?
Yeah.
You know, like I did this one off, this character on BoJack Horseman that was a deer and his name was just Deer. And he kept getting hit by cars and he jogs with a camouflage sweatsuit on, like in the woods, and then runs across the highway and just gets hit by a car. And he's always like a Walkman on, like, what? And like, they took out this fucking line that I was like, I was so mad Because the whole bit is BoJack gets out of his car and tries to help him, and his like legs are broken. So he's like, "Just give me the car," and he won't stop screaming. And like that's the joke. But like, there's this part that they said they're like, "Why do you keep getting hit by cars?" It's like, and he's like, "I just stop in the middle of the street and I see a light coming, and I go, what is that?" But it's a car every time, right? He's like, "Yeah, every time." It's like we all have that thing of just like, "Oh, if only this will work out once." Nope. Fuck.
Every time. That's great.
Icarus flew too close to the sun yet again. It's like, if I have to like that list, that's in terms of listenability, that's maybe one of my least favorite songs of the songs I gave you. Mm-hmm. But like just what it's about, just I relate so hard.
Yeah.
When you just kind of, especially being a dude who's 46, first marriage, first child,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I got this extra lease on life and this looking back all, you know, me and my crazy like scumbag friends from Chicago were a lot of times we're just like, fuck, I can't believe we're all alive.
Yeah.
We're alive. We're doing okay. We're not in the gutter, man. None of us are homeless. You know, it's just blows our minds with all the chances we took, you know, it's just like, yeah. Grateful.
Absolutely. That one is the song I don't know that I had heard that one before, but I really liked it.
That's a deep cut. That was never on any charts or anything. That's just a song I found that I was like, hard way every time. That sounds like a fucking blaxploitation. Like Free the Hard Way, you know?
So I liked it. And it's also like, it's very short too, which it like so flew by. All right, let's hear the last song on this playlist. And this is just one of the greatest love songs of all time, I think. And I didn't know the story about it until today. But I love it so much. I'll have to say I love you in a song. I mean, if you didn't put
that
on a playlist,
one on my list, but it's so good.
If you didn't put that on a playlist for a girl, have you ever lived?
Come on. You ever said I love that that song is just like, hey, don't hang up. I know it's late. I'm not good at talking.
Yep.
Boom, boom.
That's like, it is funny. Like that's the disarming charm too. It's that one is sappy as fuck, but it's also a little funny. Like it's great. I just run out of things to say every time I'm here.
I did. Andy Wood and Brian Cook had a show. Back when we did shows in LA called Guilty Treasures.
Yes,
that you guys should do a crossover.
We talked to them about it a long time ago. Okay. Yeah.
So I did that song the first time I did that show. You know, and I never forget, like, they're doing the riff, and I, you know, well, I know it's kind of late. I'm singing it, and from the back of a full bar, Kyle Kinane, fuck you.
That is
so
great.
So perfect. So it's like, that's always, you know how chefs, it's like, they're like, you gotta add a little acid to cut the fat of that dish. He was the squeeze of lime over my fried fish taco or whatever.
That's
where
so
I'm just
funny.
Singing this sappy fucking song, you know, where he's just like, fuck you. Just like from the back of the room. It's like, it was perfect.
That is so wow. Beautiful.
Amazing.
I want to give a quick shout out to Andy Wood because so you have a podcast called This Might Help, which I was just on, and I listened to Andy Wood's episode a little bit before I did it, and It actually helped out a buddy of mine a lot because he's going to be on, I can't give away the name or whatever, but he's going to be on Jeopardy. And I was like, dude, you got to hear this guy talk about what he listened to, because he talks about wagering strategy shit on there. And that's like the main thing you can learn about in the little time between you get, between you like booking the show and getting on it and stuff. And yeah. So he just listened to it. So this might help, did help. So there you go.
Awesome.
So check that pod out. We gotta wrap up pretty soon, but we have to get to these comments real fast, and then we will rate the playlist and get the hell up out of here. So as we always do, we posted asking people for their thoughts on Jim Croce, and as we always do, we go to the Patreon people first. And Nick Clerkin says, grew up listening to him, and he's great. I'll say this, Bad Bad Leroy Brown is a monster karaoke song. Easy tune, no problem if you're hammered, and the call and response during the chorus gets people going. God, I miss karaoke.
All right, yeah.
It's funny because you mentioned the call and response thing earlier, didn't you? It's like,
yeah.
It is kind of like annoying in the actual song.
It's not my favorite, but also kind of like Tommy said, maybe because like I've just heard it a billion times.
Yeah.
It's like Sweet Caroline.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, like when I think of Sweet Caroline, I think of Will Ferrell doing the cover, and he's like, where he's talking about like where Neil Diamond is secretly racist and like where he's drunk. And, you know, that's my favorite.
All right. Cole Froling says, big one for me because of my parents. Fits that weird slot of sad songs and then well-made, almost novelty songs. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it.
Anthony Tiberio says, Jim could have been so prolific had he been around longer. Just seeing his photo on my greatest hits CD back in the day, I would have sworn the guy was at least 50, but to find out he was only 30 when he died still blows my mind. Operator gets me choked up every time I hear it. Also, Bronger, you're great. Learned about you when I used to see you on At Midnight way back when. Still a big fan. Hey, there you go.
Thanks.
Hard wick every time, huh?
Am I right? Nice.
That's so funny that he said that thing about the. I didn't see that before I said it myself, but yeah, I thought he was 52 from that greatest hits thing. That's so funny. Yeah. Saga Nadao, new Patreon subscriber. Thank you very much, by the way. In my head, Croce occupies a space in music that's very close to Warren Zevon. Not sure if this checks out, but it's how I feel.
Wow. Yes. Interesting. Yes. Yeah, I feel like Warren Zevon is way like the dark version, but like very, very like irreverent, funny stuff, way darker, but like that same kind of, yeah, so much personality in all his music and lyricism, especially. So that's amazing. I didn't even think of that. That's a good one.
There you go. All right, now to the Facebook. We got Jonathan Sparkle says, Jim Croce's the soundtrack to every 30 or 40-something missing their dad. Every time I hear Operator, I'm transported back to my childhood, hanging out with my dad in his way too short shorts. Well, the joke's on you, Jonathan. I don't have a dad, and I still do it. But no, I think he's totally right. I think that is just
you can't argue with that.
Casey James Salingo says, what a lovely man, that's all I got. And I agree. Let me skip through, we can't read all these because there's too many. Tom Delgado said, he's one of the most underrated songwriters of all time. He wrote everything he ever made before the age of 30. His career only really took off a couple of years before he died. Too, he died in a plane crash after playing a gig that was too small for him. Yes, we know all that. The last time he spoke to his wife, he told her he was going to take a break after that show to help her take care of their new son, AJ, for whom he wrote Time in a Bottle. Also, he wrote I'll Have to Say I Love You in a song. Yeah, for his wife, Ingrid, after they got into a huge fight about his career-related absences. That was in the behind the music. He stayed up all night writing it and just came in the bedroom and played it for her the following morning. Croce's the best. Absolutely. Yeah, so I forgot to mention that. So she was like upset all night, like crying. He's like up all night writing this song, and then it's very sweet. And then he said he was gonna stop doing the road, basically.
I'm just laughing at the image. It's so dark of like her crying, and instead of consoling her, he's like, listen 5 hours from now I'm gonna play it. This is blow your mind. He's not there.
He's shut up in there. I'm trying to arrange this.
Hey, please, you're crying so loud. I can't.
That's definitely a do not try that at home type of story.
Yes.
Because you're not Jim Croce.
I mean, that's the testament to what a good songwriter you would. Can you imagine anyone else? I know it. Hey, wake up.
Wake up. No, before we even have coffee, listen. I love you, your eyes in the morning. Samantha. Like, just some bullshit wrote that. It had to have been a fucking home run. You can't come back from that and not have a song that's going to chart. That's good. And chart. You're just going to melt your heart and make and buy us a house.
Let's see here. James Fritz says, operator in New York's not my home. Absolutely rule. And he says that Leno copped all denim from him. I can yeah, see that.
That's true.
Very true.
New York's not my home. That was almost on my list because that one really.
Great song.
I went to college in Purchase near White Plains, and like I would go in the city, and I loved it, but it was like I felt like an alien.
Yeah,
moving from Portland, Oregon to the New York State. It was it's so sad, but everyone's felt that way in New York. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
It was almost too emotional listening to that for that reason. Sitting in Brooklyn, like, no, I can't hear this.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You're on the fence at all.
Let's see. I'll read two more here. Melinda Cashner says, I love him so, so much. The other day I was wondering if he might be gay, so I Googled it and found this. And it's what Google popped up. You can't see because of the light. It says, Jim Croce gaydar. According to 25 visitors, Jim Croce is 44% gay. However, the average gay rating on gayorstraight.com is 69%, which means Jim Croce is very straight in comparison to other celebrities on this website.
How many voters are just random, like, kind of gay hating bros? They're like, yeah, that mustache is gay as fuck.
Yep.
Gay.
I'd have to assume most. Let's see. Last thing we will read here. It's not going to be a bit. And, Jason Goad says, a fantastic songwriter and a completely underrated guitarist. He had a laser beam accuracy to evoke a feeling or a sense of time and place with a single line or turn of phrase. His lyrics are reality and authentically felt emotions. Could play anywhere to any audience and win them over. He was also best friends with Arlo Guthrie and Cheech Marin. So we already got that one in there. But yeah.
Dude, it's crazy how, like, almost everything we covered, someone wrote in the comments.
I know, yeah.
And not just stuff like that last thing, sure, you could look that up. Mm-hmm. But some of it was like, it's the exact same evocative feeling you get from his music or whatever.
Absolutely.
So it's like, that's how in the pocket he was in terms of what he did.
For sure.
Yeah.
So you
never,
good.
Like, you. I can't imagine, even if he's live today, going to like a Jim Croce show and him going like, I got an experimental track I'm going to try, everybody. He starts playing something that sounds like early Genesis or something. You're like, prog rock, really, Jim? No. Like, it's
we are at the end of the show, so you get the floor for your final thoughts on Croce. If you want, those could suffice.
The only thing I'll add is that I think it takes a lot of balls to be corny.
Yeah.
And I think to not have any kind of armor at all and have this kind of everybody. I feel like he was kind of like a barroom poet, as awful as that sounds. But it was like it was so accessible, and it was just for the people. And it was like his music is as comforting as your local neighborhood bar was kind of back in that era. And and just kind of like a friend to all. But very like whoever said about like laser precision in terms of getting an emotion out of you. So true. And because he has that kind of allure, because he's frozen in carbonite.
Yeah.
He'll never not be that guy. He never got old. It's like, Jimi Hendrix or Janis Joplin. They'll always look like they look.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's not something I like love, like live fast, die young, leave a good looking corpse.
Right,
and
that
it. But like, it is what it is. That's all, and that's kind of beautiful.
Tragic,
but like I can't really think of anyone who is kind of just like him, and you can't really nail down exactly what it was. I remember as a, like, last thing I said, I'll say is like, I remember as a kid hearing him and being like, I like this guy. I could see him being friends with my dad, this would be a fun, this Jim Croce is like a fun uncle. He's like everybody's fun uncle. Mm-hmm. Without doing a wacky tune. It's like if your fun uncle was kind of stoned and sat down and played a song about how he was sad, and you're like, fuck, that's a Jesus Christ, Uncle Jim. That song's amazing. You know, it's kind of like that. So that's it. That's all I'll say.
I think very well said, and I'm so glad that you chose Croce. I was thrilled to talk about him today, Tommy. I'll let you go first if you're up for it.
Yeah, this was great. As I said, I had not listened to a lot of Jim Croce. The only song I'd heard really was Operator on the playlist, and I had such a good day just listening to him, watching him play live, learning about him, and I was just like, I just love this guy like so wholeheartedly from like the little I know about him. His voice is incredible. I could listen to him sing all day, and like you were mentioning too, like just the two acoustic guitars sounding so full and like just playing off each other amazingly. I just love this music, and I think it was great. So yeah, perfect score, just awesome.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
I was going to say, I forgot to say this I'll have to say I love you in a song, but I remember I had a buddy growing up who learned to play that song for his girlfriend, and I couldn't play guitar or had a girlfriend, and I was so jealous, and I was like, God, I wish I had both of those things, because I want to do that for somebody.
Both equally.
I love Jim Croce so much. I would not be able to sleep tonight if I gave him any less than a 6 out of 6, because I loved this playlist. It was fun to hear a couple songs from him that I didn't know. And so I really enjoyed it. And 6 out of 6 for sure, because I mean, Operator just gets me every goddamn time. And I am somebody who, I hate to say it, I kind of don't mind living in the sap a little bit sometimes, and this is right there. This is right in my wheelhouse of the perfect type of sap, where I think there's something about the fact that he is in Carbonite that I don't have to look at his Instagram and go, oh, God, he's so corny.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think he was.
He's not going to come out and be like, you know, that Dinesh D'Souza's got some good Jim, you know, like there's no fear of that. Yes. Kind of, you know, where they're going to ruin it.
So you also get to rate this playlist out of 6. What do you got, Matt?
Oh, it's my playlist, so I'll give it 6 out of 6 for sure.
Hell yeah. Some people do not, but
people have low self-esteem. Yep,
you know, for what it is. I mean, I almost didn't put Jim Croce because I feel like most people either have never heard of him or they're like, oh, fuck, you know, I fucking kind of love him, you know. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he's so sappy, I'm sure people like despise him. Mm-hmm. There are certain people that like, if you kind of, you know, lean towards the aggro, you're going to hate it. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to, you know, it's you're not going to listen to Pantera and then Jim Croce, you know, like it's, you know,
well,
both similar acts. But
I am worried, you know, about that state trooper giving us a low star rating on our.
We're gonna have a rough day.
I want a song about that guy.
Yes,
we missed him so much. I got the follow up. Roller Derby Queen's husband fell in love with her, and then what? She's gonna have to kill her man.
That is the sort of thing that we might have seen from him in the late '80s if things didn't go right. It's all just sequels to all the things.
Operator's friend.
Yeah. Hey, operator, me again. Please don't.
All right, Matt, thank you so much for doing this, man. The podcast is This Might Help. Is there anything else you want to plug while we're here?
No, that's fine. Go to mattbronger.com or whatever if you want to get any of my albums or my specials are on Amazon Prime. Blah, blah. But yeah, This Might Help is what I'm kind of pumping out regularly. Oh, also, season 2 of Hey Girl with Matt and Kyle is going to be coming
Hell
out.
Yeah.
And nice. Doing. We have the whole first season's on now up on YouTube. So subscribe if you want to watch us drink and barge into people's homes via Zoom and comment in the apartment. And have special guests do that with us. And we're going to, this new season, we're going to be doing like every couple of months, we're going to do a monster ep with a bunch of guests. So just stay tuned for that. We're still setting that up. But yeah, it's going to be great.
Hell yeah. Check that out and get on the Patreon, people. $3 a month gets you bonus episodes every week and 10% off if you do the whole year. That's $270 a friggin' month. Get over there. And Tommy, anything else that I'm forgetting?
I'm hosting a fundraiser stand-up show on Zoom March 24th. So I'll be tweeting about that and stuff. So just be on the lookout for that.
Hell nice. Yeah. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.